evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Bill Bauman, your big buddy, just here to love you and be loved by you. We are here for an amazing hour together, what I want to call an enormously magical hour together. But first, please feel welcomed, feel embraced, feel here, feel like your home in whatever way is just right for you. Welcome to my heart, welcome to Donna's heart, and welcome to the heart of everybody else who is here. It is Thursday, it is June, and we are together. And you know that old thing, where two or more are gathered, I think the rest of it goes, there am I in the midst. And so the I here is just the, especially tonight, it's the love that all of us have for each other. It's the bond, it's the unity, it's that special spark of something that is invisible, intangible, almost unnameable, very divine, very spacious, very unlimited, very magical, very graceful, and it's really here. And for some strange reason, we come together once a month just to bask in the sun-like rays of this grace, this invisible, intangible presence and force that somehow is the power behind all creation, and yet somehow lives in and through and around each of us in a way that just never ends. So this time together is really our time, just once a month, just to come together and not just remind ourselves of that, but to take a deep, thorough, warm bath in its blessings and in its wondrous love of us. So I really want to invite you, please feel embraced by everything that is here, especially every one of us. So I want to welcome everybody from every part of the world. And we have a number of people from, of course, most people from the United States of America, and so many others from other places around this globe. And I feel like in that sense, we are the whole world. Like the song says, we are the world. And we are each representatives of our part of the world and, of course, of the whole world itself. So I feel like this is a blessing for each of us, but it's also a blessing for the whole world. And by way of segue, I'd like to announce to you, and we'll see if you know this, that yesterday, June the 8th, was World Oceans Day. Now, how many of you knew that? Oh, everybody's raising your hand. I just made that last part up about you raising your hands. World Oceans Day. It started in 1992 in Canada and was accepted as a day to be celebrated every year in the Rio de Janeiro Environmental Conference in 1992. And I think it was in 2008 that the United Nations adopted it, and it's now sponsored by the United Nations. It's a day set apart once every year to celebrate our oceans, to really honor all this water, all this liquid that happened to be the lungs of our planet. Did you know that the oceans produce more oxygen than anything else on the Earth, the majority of our oxygen? So these oceans, both externally, all around the globe, and internally, from an elemental, earth, air, fire, water point of view in us, they love us, they support us, they honor us. And this is a day set aside, and I'd just like to invite us to take this moment just to honor and celebrate just the beautiful liquid quality of this amazing planet we live on. So thank you for that. Now, I'm going to go from the sublime to the ridiculous and make one other announcement. Did you know that earlier, June 3rd, last week, was National, in the United States, National Donut Day? Yes, it was. It really was. How many knew that? How many ate a whole dozen donuts on that day just to celebrate the beauty of sugared flour? It was amazing. So anyway, so much for that. Welcome to this space. I would like, first of all, to thank Donna, my wonderful, beautiful Donna, whom I love and adore, for the photos that those of you who are on the webcast will be viewing. And the ones that she's got here this evening, I feel like calling they're her paintings. I feel like calling them the feminine spirit in watercolor. So if you happen to be on the web, you will enjoy those. And in gratitude to you, Donna, and in thanking you, I'd like to ask you to say hi to all of us.
Well, thank you. I do want to say hi to everyone and welcome you, and we're so glad you joined us for this hour each month. And we're here in Vegas, where since June 1st, we have not seen a day that's been under 100, and today it's about 110. So join the warmth. Thank you for being with us.
Lovely. See, so wherever you're sitting in the world, you're feeling really nice and cool now, aren't you? That's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. What you know, those of you who've been here before, and if this is your first time, just really, I just welcome you. And if, as so many people do, if you are tuning in later because you can't make it for this particular hour, just really a huge, huge, huge welcome to our hearts. As you know, I usually talk. It's one of the curses that I apply to the earth is talking. And what's really important about the talk that I'm going to give tonight, which is true all the time, but especially tonight, is that it really is background music. There's a. I'll give you the title. You're going to love this title. It's going to puzzle you at first. Your Hidden Magic, Your Disempowerment. And after the word magic, insert a colon. So what is your hidden magic? It's your disempowerment. Now, that's one to puzzle over. And, of course, I'll hopefully explain all that. But truly, because it's about magic, we have come together today to sit in the middle of magic, to be blessed by magic, to let the magic within us awaken itself and awaken its magic wand within us. And that magic uses words, uses concepts to both entertain the mind and occupy the mind and help the mind grasp concepts. But really the mind, this mind of ours that is about understanding, is also this amazing doorway into the soul, doorway into the psyche, doorway into the heart, doorway into all those magical spaces within us. And so on the one hand, let yourself be with whatever the content of the words is and play with them in your mind. And on the other hand, please notice, as much as is your nature to notice, please notice what happens. What happens as those concepts dissolve, as they filter through the sieve of the mind, as they dissolve into your heart, and sort of what your heart does with that, and what your soul does with that, and what your deep, deep inner magic does with that. So I'll repeat the topic, your hidden magic, your disempowerment, or I could say your disempowered self. So how's that for an intriguing topic? Are you proud of me for coming up with that? Yes, of course you are. Me too. So for most of us, we're not really very big fans of any facet of ourselves that feels weak or disempowered or wounded or afraid or abused or scared or insecure. I'm coming up with words like terrified, shame-filled, guilty, angry, hurt, sad, pained, unlovable. We're not big fans of those facets of what feels like a disempowered self. We usually look at these feelings, or sometimes we'll call them our issues, and we respond by like labeling them as problems that need to be overcome, issues that we need to resolve, emotions that need to be healed. We want them gone. We want them dissolved, transformed, healed, finished, out of the way, so that we can be free of them and then move, let's say, hopefully, swiftly, smoothly, into our, and now we've got words on the other end of the extreme, our healthy, alive, whole, empowered, expansive, amazingly free, beautiful self. So in that notice, there's this kind of duality that we swing back and forth in, and we oftentimes, because of an assumption, we oftentimes sort of get locked in both of those dualities, disempowerment on one end, empowerment on the other. And in that assumption, we assume that empowerment equals success, disempowerment equals failure. One equals wholeness, the other equals partialness, separation, disembodiment, etc. So I want to invite us to hang out in anything, any facet of ourselves, any feeling in ourselves, any, to use the word, issue in ourselves that feels disempowered, any way that there's any facet of us that experiences all those adjectives I was using, like fear and anger and hurt and sadness and pain and all that. I want to invite us to just be with those from a different angle. So I'm inviting us to at least a slightly, but maybe more than slightly, different perspective. Maybe a different way of looking at what hurts. A different way of being with what's stuck or what feels weak or, of course, to use the word, disempowered. So let me cut to the chase. Yeah, chase, as in chase lounge. Let me try that again. Let me cut to the chase. And let's start with that saying that you and I have heard so many times, and it goes like this. It's a quote. Our greatest weakness is our greatest strength. Our greatest weakness is our greatest strength. And I think those words pretty much give away everything that this talk is about. But this talk is not just about that concept. This talk is about something special in that seeming weakness, that perceived weakness, that assumed weakness, that's not usually seen. And it happens to be our greatest strength. And so I'm inviting us just to hang out in, back to the title, the magic, our hidden magic. Hidden in that seeming weakness, disempowerment, etc., pain, hurt, hidden in there is something unbelievable. So are you ready? Let's hang out together in this, what I feel like calling inspired yet almost unexplainable mantra, the mantra that our greatest weakness is our greatest strength. Let's really be in, and in a special way, be with this wise, even if sometimes confusing, sutra. What does it mean? Hopefully, together, you and I, we, all together, because we have the shared hidden magic within us, we can bring the power of this saying, this truth, alive today, right in the middle of anything in us that, sure enough, might feel disempowered. So I was thinking a little earlier. I was thinking, well, what could I share? So, of course, being very megalomaniacal, I love that word, and very self-absorbed, I thought, well, let me talk about my experience. Some of you know I was a psychologist for a lot of years before I got into what I'm doing at this point. And I, of course, specialized a lot in psychotherapy and for a number of years in hypnotherapy. And in other words, and I, even as a psychotherapist, I loved what I called depth, or what they called depth psychotherapy, just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper I sank into people's pain, into their disempowerment, into their hurt and into their abuse and all the rest, I found something. I found something that truly amazed me because I had no clue about it. I found that every time we went into the middle of whatever was hurtful, painful, disempowering, whatever was self-critical or fearful or crushed or whatever it was, the more we went into it, the more some little doorway opened, some crack emerged, some opening happened. And sure enough, what I found is I found love at the core of people's unlovedness. And I If I just, again, use me, because all I seem to care about is myself these days, yuck. I think a lot of my childhood was feeling unloved, and I totally know and get these days that my parents absolutely loved me, and loved me in the biggest, fullest, hugest, most selfless way they could. But for reasons that are unnecessary here, it didn't take well. It wasn't felt deep in me. It didn't feel like it touched the places in me that were looking for love. So for me, I felt like over time, of course, when I got to be adult, after I worked through all my anger and rebellion and made life miserable enough for my parents and all the rest, I started realizing that, what a perfect setup for me to have to discover love from inside myself instead of reaching outside for it. And so once I, you know, got through the anger and the resentment and all the rest, and just got more honest with myself about, maybe it's my job to find this, and I went deep into that unloved space. And to make the long story short, just in the exploration, in the embrace, in the swimming around in the deep friendship-based oneness with all that unself-love and all the pain of that, sure enough, what emerged from that was love. And then that love just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and became a full flower of love in a way that frankly wound up meaning a lot more to me and being a much bigger, huger, owned force than if I had gotten it from those parents outside. And it actually allowed me to really appreciate and love my parents from a whole different angle. So back to my experience with all that helping of other people. As I just said, I found love in the middle of unloveness. I found power, let's say, at the bottom of the barrel of somebody's weakness and victimness. I found creativity at the center of someone's crushed spirit. In the middle of somebody's hopelessness, I found hope. Or in the middle of a self-hate, hidden right in the middle of that skin, I found self-love. Or let me go to fear. I found right within the grip of fear, I found a courage in all these people, and they found it somehow because, again, two or more gathered, we took that journey together and we dared not to take the seemingly easy approach, the seemingly stereotypic approach of, okay, let's get in there and let's heal that sucker. Let's get rid of that fear. Instead, what we did is we just took the elevator down. We got off on the floor of that fear or that disempowerment or that whatever, and we just explored it. We just kind of, with no judgment of it, no condemnation of it, no accusing it of being a problem, we just opened to what it was. And sure enough, step by step, bit by bit, again, a doorway opened right in the middle of, let's call it, the fear. And sure enough, courage or power or strength or confidence or whatever the word would be, it appeared, and it started coming to life, and then it came more to life, and then after a bit it started taking over the whole process. So where once fear sort of ruled that level of a person's interior, now the courage or the strength or the power started ruling that. So I played with that for a lot of years, and after I got over the shock of, wow, this is the way it happens, I started thinking this thought, what's with this scenario? The scenario where what we most need is resting, maybe even napping, right there in the middle of our pain, right there in the middle of our perceived, believed wrongness, like something's wrong. It's right there just waiting for us to discover it and claim it. So like right now, in each of us. Not that any of us would have anything that would seem like a disempowered self or a small self or a little self or a lacking self or anything like that. Of course, that's a silly concept. But just in case, right now, whatever that's about, it's seeming to speak the language of disempowerment or whatever. But it's really speaking that our greatest weakness is our greatest strength. So I started to rethink my concepts about, what is this disempoweredness about? What is this damaged self, this hurt self, scared self, angry self? What is that? So I started to rethink it, and I started with these thoughts. Could it be, I wondered, that these issues or these feelings, convincing as they are as problems, as much as they present themselves as obstacles, could it be that they're actually loving protectors of our actual hidden empowerment? Just let that sink beyond the mind for a second. Could it be that they're masking, sort of like Halloween masks, they're masking a much freer, fuller, alive self? Or, and catch this one, could it be that they're actually friends holding our fully alive self in a seeming opposite-looking form like fear or, again, disempowered me? So I hung out with all these thoughts, and of course they weren't, of course, just thoughts. They were kind of what they all are for us now. Yes, at one level, thoughts, concepts, but they're much deeper. There's an invitation there. So for me, I was being led down the rabbit hole, perhaps, down the ladder into a deeper, deeper, deeper truth. So I started thinking the next thought. Gee, I wondered, could it be that if I started treating my seeming disempowerment like a friend, like actually approached it in the spirit of friendship, like even partnership, maybe, if I even had like an intimate conversation with it, like I would with my best friend, that if I did all that, that maybe that pain or that problem or that disempowerment would lovingly, willingly kind of pull open the curtain behind it, reveal to me in myself or in someone else our beautiful self, our love-filled self, our empowered self, and that it would maybe invite that beautiful self to come out and play more and more and more and join me. So I did, back to my journey here, I played with that for a lot of years. I'm slow. I'm a lot slower than you are, so it took me a long time. And I felt like I really made friends with pain, with weakness, with victimness, with hatred, with violence, with disempowerment, fear, all those words, and with whatever, anything we would typically call a problem. So in that, notice what started to happen for me is the locked-inness in the two extremes of duality, where one versus the other, where it's a tug-of-war, a pull-and-tug match between opposites, and we want the positive rather than the negative. That faded and faded and faded, and I found that over time my perception of it all changed. I stopped seeing problem. I stopped seeing disempowerment. I found in that same space where disempowerment was in myself and in everybody I was dealing with, helping, I found in it what I want to call a real friend. A true friend, an actual partner in the healing of those I was helping. I found I didn't need to dispel it, cast it away, cast it out, transform it, heal it. Instead, I found that once I stopped seeing it as the enemy, seeing it as something wrong, once I just embraced it as a friend, as just right, as purposefully there, as the unveiler of our greatest strength, then guess what happened? It simply turned itself inside out. It showed me its real self. In other words, what looked and felt like disempowerment, because I wasn't seeing it as that, here's a cute word, it fessed up. It fessed up to being my or somebody else's truly powerful self. What was experienced as fear, pretty much almost instantaneously at times, just because I wasn't acknowledging it as fear, but seeing it as posing as fear, but being the doorway to something much stronger, what was experienced as fear turned itself into strength. What was unlovability turned itself into love. And it came forth, one, and I'm oversimplifying just a bit, just because I was seeing it in its truth rather than in its illusion. I was seeing it in its reality rather than in its if I may use the word, its lie. So it's something like Halloween in various cultures, where we dress up, we make believe we're somebody else or we're something else, and we make believe we're something that's scary. So we dress up as ghosts and goblins and Dracula and Darth Vader and scary dudes and dudettes, and it's all about scaring people. And of course they play along, they say, "Ooh, that's very scary," and of course we're all enjoying the scare fear game. But deep down they know that under that mask, under that costume, there's an absolutely adorable, beautiful you. And because of that, it's all fun. And because of that, who you really are winds up winning. So where am I going? Where am I going from here? Or maybe better said, where are we all going together? So I've got 3 points I'd like to make. The first is we all hold assumptions about ourselves and about our world. Assumptions that are way too small and oftentimes very inaccurate. Second, we all have enormous, enormous, endless sources of strength, sources of magic within us that appear to be, like in Halloween, the exact opposite. And that happens just because we're holding those erroneous assumptions. And third, if we look long enough, if we peer hard enough into it all, and if we just allow ourselves to shift the course in our assumptions, then the blinders start to fall from our eyes, the blinders that let us not see the greatest strength that is right there in the middle of our seeming greatest weakness. The blinders fall from our eyes, and sure enough, we start to see the truth. We start to see the truth. What is that truth? As you're just with this, as you're with your own truth, however it's resonating within you at the moment, wherever it lives or floats or resides or is present, what is that truth? So I have, I think it's maybe 3 answers to that. First, it's the truth that we all, you and I, we all are created perfect. We're created perfect. I know it's a big one to swallow, but it just happens to be the truth. It's in the creation myths of most religions. It's in the heart and the soul of each of us, this knowledge, this knowing, that you are perfect. It sits there, this truth. It doesn't necessarily scream it out. It doesn't plaster it on billboards outside along the highway. But it whispers it. So when we let go of those assumptions, the blinders fall from our eyes, and we start to see the first truth that we're all created perfect. And let me add a few other words, and beautiful. You are so beautiful, one of the most gorgeous songs I've heard, and glowing and wondrous, and on and on. Then second, what is that truth? Second, it's the truth that it's only our trained belief, our construed belief, that we're other than that we're other than perfect, that there's something wrong, that sets us up to perceive that we're disempowered, that we're problemed, that we're stuck, that we're unfree. It's only that belief. It's that, I think it was William James in the early 1900s, the philosopher who said, as you perceive, so it is. Whatever we believe, it's that self-fulfilling prophecy. It doesn't mean it's true. It just means we believe it, and looking at life and looking at ourselves through the eyes of that belief, we see it. We see disempowerment, even though it's the farthest thing from the truth. What's the truth? Third. The third truth is that we can not only shift those beliefs, those assumptions about being disempowered, but because we've got magic, because built into that apparent disempowerment or problem or issue, there is the truth, we can also find and we can actually reclaim our innate perfection, our inherent inner magic, our wondrous nature, the magnificence of life as it lives within us. And we can own it, and we can claim it, and we can celebrate it, and we can dance it in whatever way. So those are the truths that I'm presenting, level one, to our minds, just to chew on. Level two, to our hearts, to reawaken those truths as they're already there so that they come alive more strongly. Third, to our souls, our all-knowing, all-wise souls who not only know that truth but hold that truth. And no matter what the seeming problems, no matter how difficult the storm we're walking through, and no matter how horrendous the pain or the disempowerment that we're in, that soul holds the truth and never, ever, ever lets it go away. Even if at a conscious level we've shut ourselves off from it and we don't go there. So today, for each of us, for all of us, today is about us opening anew to the wondrous magic, the magic that lives not only within each of us, but right in the middle of our seeming disempowerment. So right now, notice it if you can, if you feel like it. Right now, that magic in each of us is inviting us to open our inner eyes to how perfect we already are, to visit our soul and say, yo, soul, what's up? And listen to our soul as it says, yo, you're perfect. End of discussion. Join me, sit in here with me in the middle of this perfection, and let's enjoy it. So right now that magic is inviting us to open our eyes to how perhaps misinformed our assumptions about ourselves may have been, to see our endless beauty, to experience the undying awe and the awesome being that we are, to embrace to love, to celebrate this utterly magnificent, powerful being called you, called me, called us. What an amazing truth it is. And to me, again, what's beautiful about this truth is that we possess a magic within us. The magic of creation lives within us. And again, it lives right in the middle of what we're misperceiving, what we're perceiving from much too small a vision as a problem. So I wanted to invite us to our perfection, to our magnificence, by taking an area that can be awfully convincing. Because I've heard so many people say, yeah, I hear you say I'm beautiful and perfect and wonderful, but so-and-so doesn't believe that. So-and-so who hates me and cusses me out doesn't think so. I hear you say it's a beautiful world, but I look out and I look at all the pain and the suffering, and I'm not convinced it's all so divinely perfect. So it can be convincing otherwise, and of course it's easy to be convinced otherwise. It takes, I think, a capacity, or maybe a willingness, maybe just a willingness, not even a capacity, to open to this magic, open to the magic that lives in even in any misperception, even in any seeming problem that we have, or that we think the world has. And really look at it, and let the magic open our eyes. Let the magic reawaken our heart. Let the magic be the vocal cords of our soul. Let the magic take that word, perfection, and move it through the vibratory levels of our being. Press it through the fibers and the tissues of our body. Move it alively through the energy fields of our nervous system. Move it into our brains and our feelings and our emotions. And let us really re-experience ourselves anew as who we really, really are. Just wonderful. So I'd like to kind of take the last part of this talk. And, you know, what I do is ahead of time, I just kind of open up to what seems like wants to be said, what wants to be the background music verbally, while grace, or our word today for that is magic, simply does the work, and we just drink in its beauty. And so here's what came up next. Again, a look at myself, and I'm about to kind of describe, I think, what my self-concept is, what my perception of myself as a hopefully humble servant of our human family is. So I look at that, and I, of course, I've watched that my servant role morph over the years. But as I look back on it all, I think I see pretty clearly that among other roles, I even made some notes about them, if you will. I'm going to talk about several, not talk about, just list them, what I'm here for. So I feel like, number one, I'm really here to reflect and mirror to, maybe mirror back to all of us, our divinely created, divinely bestowed beauty. That's that perfection. And I'm here to reflect it, to help all of us see that in ourselves. And second, I'm here to remind us how absolutely perfect and sublime we are in as many tangible ways as possible. And three, I'm here to invite us to remember our sacred heritage as embodiments of the divine, as, quote, made in the image and likeness of God, unquote. I don't know why, but at one point I counted the number of times that phrase was in the Hebrew book of Genesis. And I came up with either seven or nine, I forget which, but I think seven times. As though right off the bat, at the beginning of creation, right from the let there be light words of creative power, it wanted to be made clear that we are made in the image and likeness of God, that we are gods in a bottle. That's a terrible way to say it, but gods in embodiment. So four, I feel like I'm here to ask us, and I sometimes will feel like saying to beg us, to stop judging. Stop judging ourselves. Stop judging others or the world as wrong or lacking. It's not a thing I put a lot of words to, because I'm not about asking people to stop stuff, but it's in there, it's implied. So five, I feel like I'm here to help awaken us to the vast empowerment that lies within us, alive and well in there, power that not even our imagination can describe in adequate terms. So I'm here to help awaken that. And six, I feel like I'm here to bless, this is a way to say it, to bless our perceived weakness, to heal our assumed smallness. Because a lot of times with that weakness and with that assumed smallness, we sometimes require of ourselves, and instead of just waking up, that we go in and we walk through it, and we walk through its pain. So I'm here to walk with you through that and bless you as you move through the pain and find the awakening in it. And seven, I'm here to celebrate our shared beauty, to invite our hidden wonder to come out and shine, to be more alive, to be more in our conscious experience. And eight, I'm here to be a living model, hopefully, a living model of the truth that pure love can awaken any of us, and can awaken the truth in any of us, and can awaken the power of any of us, and the magic of any of us. And there's something about being loving as purely as possible, as divinely as possible, that somehow just lets that magic happen. And nine, I feel like I'm here to adore you. To adore you in a way that hopefully mimics as much as is humanly possible the way God adores you, or Goddess, if you will, adores you. The way the divine sees your truth, loves you, blesses you at every turn, believes in you, believes in your perfection. So I feel like I'm here to be my embodiment of that adoration of you. And if I look at my life, especially the last many years of it, I feel like that's been my calling. That's been my role, my assigned role. It's been my destiny. It's been the fulfillment of kind of why I came here. And so maybe just to say that one other way, I feel like I came here kind of like what these words are tonight, to just remind us. I think that's it. Maybe that says it really simply, just to say, oh, by the way, we've all forgotten some things, and here's what we've forgotten. And what we've forgotten, of course, is the utterly divine, absolutely beautiful, magnificently perfect, radiantly precious, beautiful being that each of us is. So that's about me. And in one sense, I'll say it this way, it's cute. This is this role that I've had it's a tough sell. As you know, every time you've tried to do it, it's a tough sell. It tends to fly in the face of a human penchant for judging, for finding fault, for being locked into a dualistic pull and tug between opposites, and we could even almost call it a human addiction for all that finding comfort in the pain and disempowered feelings. So it's a tough sell, but you know what? here's the other side of that. You. Yes, you. You have made it work. By your willingness to release your limited assumptions, by your willingness to open yourself, to embrace your innermost truth, by your having said yes to finding your inner magic, and by your launching yourself into that, not just as a project, but as your life's work, you've rediscovered your inner beauty, even if you're in the process of continuing to rediscover it. And you've opened up those inner doorways to your perfection that's just been waiting there, even in the center of your seeming imperfection. And I, for one, really, really thank you. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you for saying yes, for being open, for being willing, because somehow I feel like we're all here together. And I've described my role, but really, I think I'm just maybe the louder voice among us, because I'm a big mouth, perhaps. I'm the louder voice of the voice that we all are. In some strange, inexplicable way, each and every one of us has come to this earth to serve the same role, for ourselves, perhaps first and foremost, and then for others, to remind ourselves and others that, oh my God, we're created in the image and likeness of the divine. We are beautiful and perfect and radiant and alive, and then to invite ourselves to let go of any of those other assumptions, beliefs, etc., that fool us, trick us, like in Halloween, to believing that there's really something scary and awful out there and in there. And then what each and every one of you is doing and what we're all doing together, like even on times like this when we come together and we open to the ongoing source of that, like we even started with that source called water or oceans. Then that source called grace, that source called magic, that source called even our very perceived imperfection and disempowered self. Those also are sources of the absolute truth of us. So, wow, together you and I are offering the rest of our human family this same gift. This gift of discovering anew their hidden magic, even in and through their seeming smallness and disempowerment. Let us take, just before we shift gears, at this ending point of this talk, of these words, these concepts, let us take just a moment and let us invite the magic within each of us to awaken, assuming, of course, it hasn't already done so, which I'm sure it has. Let us open ourselves to being in touch with that magic. Let us invite ourselves to drink in, take in, absorb, ingest, digest, receive that magic. Like that little magical doorway right in the middle of whatever we've perceived as the problem. The magic that just opens the door, unleashes the hatch, and boom, all of a sudden shows us, oh my God, in the middle of what I thought was wrong, wow, look what's there. How amazing. Let us, each in our own way, just be that magic. Yes, receive it. Yes, take it in. Yes, honoringly ingest its gifts. And yet, that magic is not just in us. We are that magic, just as we are ourselves and we are the world. We are the ocean. We are the magic of it all. And we are especially the magic in us, right here, right now. So as we take in and be that magic, right in the middle of what seemed like a problem, I invite these words as a blessing, to just penetrate into that magical space and empower your magic for this day, for tonight, for tomorrow, for all this week, all this month, and for as long as you shall live. And the words are these: may you rise up right in the middle of anything that feels weak or strong or restricted, right in the middle of anything that appears problemed or a weakness, right at the bottom of the deepest space where you might feel disempowered or imprisoned. And from that very space of your personal and or collective feelings of disempowerment, may the hidden power within that space, within your core, within your created in the image and likeness of God nature, may that power, may that magic, may that perfection, may that divinity rise up right now and convincingly show itself to any doubting ears or unseeing eyes or trained belief, and simply say, I love you. And I offer you not a dualistic freedom versus unfreedom conundrum. I offer you love. And through love, I offer you the freedom to be in the middle of this duality, seeing and knowing and experiencing the utter, absolute, perfect being that you are, and the enormous beauty of your life. With these words, you and your magic are one. Thank you. My. Thank you. Gee, I just had my eyes closed for a while, and I can't believe how bright it is in this room as I open them. I'll just assume that brightness is all you. Gee, I'd love to shift gears here and invite anybody who would like to express anything to do so. This is just a brief time for sharing. Up to now, I've maybe been the voice of that the inspiration, let's call it. But now it's your turn. So if any of you would like to say something, either on the web or on the phone, this would be a perfect time to do that. So here, let me go to the recording. So if you're on the phone and you want to say something, all you need to do is press *2 on your phone, and that will give me a little signal, and I can call on you. And if you're on the web, as you know, what you can do is There's a little box there, and you can just write in that box whatever you'd like. If you'd like me to use your name, feel free to put your name in, and if not, we don't need it. How perfect, perfect. This is from Stephanie. This honors all of us and the memory of Muhammad Ali, who rose up in empowerment for himself and the world. Mm-hmm. We are the greatest. Stephanie, wow, thank you. That was perfect. And this is from Colleen, and it's, some of it's personal, so I'm not sure if I'll read the whole thing. This is great. If you'd only given this talk last month. It was a big month for me. And it unfolded just like you said, but in the end, with the help of grace, I did embrace it, and, quote, the fear fever broke, unquote. I can honestly say that I'm totally letting go into the flow, and guess what? This time, life is presenting presence to me. Many wonderful opportunities. So this is how it works. I think I finally get it at long last. Not worrying about future and just trusting everything is perfect and being lined up for me at the perfect moment, no matter what it is. Thank you for tonight. Love to all. And may I just also extend myself, Colleen's love, to all of you. How absolutely beautiful. Colleen, thank you so extremely, extremely much. Wow. And Lisa says, Bill, amazing words, opening our hearts to our perfection and power. Donna's artwork is incredible. Thank you both so much. I love you. And Penny says, hi, Bill. I love my magic. I'm so grateful for all your magic, too. Much love to you and Donna. Always, Penny. Now, let me go back to here. And we have a hand up from area code 760, which looks like it's from California, and I have just unmuted you. Hi there.
Hi, Bill. It's Kelly Jean.
Kelly Jean, of all people. Well, it's party
Woo-hoo!
Time. Hello.
It's party time. This September, I can't wait to see you and Donna and everyone.
Oh, likewise.
That was thank you for that amazing reminder. And, you know, my brother is in so much pain and has been for so many years, and that's been the struggle of the family right now. And so this just reminds me to really just, because I vacillate from frustration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of him staying stuck in his story of pain and being almost like married to it and projecting
mm-hmm.
it onto every one of us. And
mm-hmm.
nobody's ever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all to blame for his unhappiness. So I go from, you know, in rage to then I vacillate and I go into that reminder that you had just talked. But now I'm really going into the love for him and just really just loving him in his pain.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. yeah.
So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you just for sharing that process and where you got with it to the love. That's beautiful. And it's so wonderful saying hi to you again.
Thank you, Bill.
Beautiful.
So much.
Thank you, Kelly Jean. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, guess what? I think that's everyone. Let me just take one quick look at the, where'd it go? The website again. No, okay, we are good. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, I just looked at the clock. Yes. Hey, thank you all so much. I want to enormously thank you. I just, you know, as I head into these last months of my little mission here, my calling in life to be a servant, I felt especially connected to all these words tonight, and I just want to, I guess this is an announcement. I feel like, and first of all, I want to thank a couple of you who really sent in beautiful suggestions for maybe some topic for this evening, which, of course, I didn't express. But I feel like we've got like five more Thursday nights before the end of the year when we're going to be doing this teleconference. And I feel like each one of those is going to be some kind of, I think I want to call special blessing at the end of my time of service. Whatever I mean by that, and I can't even say what I do mean, but anyway, there's something extra there. Our next time together is a month from now, July the 14th, which I'm sure you know is Independence Day in France. And so I would like to, you know what I didn't do? I didn't invite all of us to say hello up front. I am totally ashamed. I will not sleep tonight out of total guilt. Anyway, I'll make up for it by inviting, I'm so sorry for that. I will make up for it by inviting us to all say goodbye, which is our way of loving and blessing each other between now and the next month. So we are ready. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
There we go.
Bye. Bye. I love
you. Takes a while to catch on. Thank you. I love you all. Bye bye.
The moderator has left the conference.